President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. Got a great show lined up for you tonight, July the 28th on the West Coast, now the 29th on the East Coast, as well as in the Central Time Zone. Lots of things going on in the world. How do you sort it all out? Well, we're going to talk about that tonight, and let me preface my introduction to tonight's guest with a general comment that there's a lot of disinformation going on. There's a lot of deception going on, particularly in the financial sector. You're not getting the truth about what's happening in the banks other than they're failing. That part's true. But why they're failing, who's at fault is one issue. What do we do about it? As you well know, on this show, we go into the nitty-gritty of who the players are, what they've been doing, and we do that so that we can make another choice. We do have choices. And instead of playing the role of the victim, waiting for someone to come and rescue us, as I often mention, we have an individual responsibility. We have an individual, let's say, priority in taking responsibility, as well as then a collective responsibility to prioritize what we would design, what we would create, how we could imagine a life on Earth. And foremost, we must take the Earth into consideration because this is where we're living. If we destroy the Earth, we're not going to have a place to dream or even to be enslaved. And that's part of what's on the table right now, as well as the fact that as we grow in consciousness, we should grow in consciousness vertically, not horizontally. And we are still preoccupied with looking at ourselves in the mirror and worried about what others think about how we look, how we sound, how we feel, and we seldom actually tune in to our own centers. We don't look at our heart center. We don't consider what role we're playing in the universe. Tonight, we're going to talk about that and many more things. I could go on and on and on, but my guest is quite qualified to do that himself. He is an author, and he has written three books, which we're going to talk about tonight. He is a former investment banker, as well as real estate developer, and he knows powerful people in high places, and he's found himself somewhat in a position like many of us, having to respond to all the insanity that's encircling the globe. And he has taken it upon himself to relay information. And the source is not all that important when you realize that it's of a very high vibration and full of wisdom. Some of the books he's written, Handbook for the New Paradigm, Embracing the Rainbow, and Becoming, and his name is George Green. George, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I sort of encapsulated who you are, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to share with the listening audience whatever's on your heart and to give us a feel for who you are so that you feel
better,
that we know you.
A little better understanding. Well, let me give you a little bit better, because some of the information you gave was not correct in a way. To give you an idea, I was a registered financial principal and a broker-dealer in the securities business. I was in the investment bank business. I had my own bank. I actually started a bank outside the Federal Reserve. I got involved with real estate because I was one of the few people licensed to sell money. Now, that's interesting because the definition of money does not exist in the world money systems. I don't know if you knew that or not. They can't give you a definition.
Oh, yes, I'm aware of that, yeah.
Well, but I did, through the interaction that I had selling money, I was then brought to the attention of the people that are planning on taking over the world that actually control the monopoly game we call the Federal Reserve. And at that point, the attention was brought up to the point where I was finding, you know, where the holes in their circles, so to speak. So I was, when I was asked to be the finance chairman for the election of the next president of the United States, I was indoctrinated into what they call the Global 2000 agenda, or the Plan 2000, that Henry Kissinger says, look, the number one problem on the planet is we get too many people. So involved with that, to give you an idea, there's 300,000 people added to the planet every day, roughly 3 million every 10 days. And the resources of the planet just can't take it anymore. I mean, 40% of the world's existing on less than $2 a day. In the United States, we're reaching an impasse, which there is no solution other than to continue on with what they call the Plan 2000. And that's for the total collapse of the system as we know it. Now, when I was getting involved with these people, I sat in on the meetings as they made these plans out. And, of course, then when I found out how insane they were, I decided I didn't want to partake with them anymore. And I broke away from it. And at that point, I started to addressing how do you get information out to people to awaken them to who and what they really are. And number one, what they can do about changing the situation, forgetting about the rest of the world, themselves, and by changing themselves, it will reflect on the rest of the world. The planet's going to take care of itself. We got to take care of the people on the planet and give them an understanding that planet Earth is basically, as you mentioned, is we're not going to get off of it because this is a prison planet. We're sitting here for an enormous amount of growth. Now, the books that I published, I was not the author. I'm the publisher of the handbook, Embracing Rainbow and Becoming, and the final book called Messages to the Ground Crew, is information that is basically given us to trigger on a soul level, to awaken us to who and what we are and what we can do from that level to change the ending of the story that's planned. So I can tell you what the story's planned from the bad guys. Meanwhile, the story hasn't been played out yet. So we know that there can be changes if each one of us will take on the responsibility to make those changes. And you can watch the huge play being done on television to you every day. You can watch them talking about, the president's going to sign a new bill to save the housing, supposedly, which is malarkey.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting things are, you know, the real estate market, housing values have dropped about 14% in the last 6 months across the United States. I mean, there's pockets where the values of the real estate have maintained themselves. And the illusion of equity, if that's what I call it, if you think you own a house, you're just merely renting one on the long term, subject to paying taxes to whatever body that there is that's the governing body within the state.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that the illusion of equity has always been good because you can easily transfer it because of loans that are made available through the banking system, this big monopoly game again. The trouble is the monopoly game is now bankrupt, and the rest of the world is saying the same thing. They say, we will no longer take this currency we call the dollar, this Federal Reserve note. We all know that there's no federal and there's no reserve, and it's just a piece of paper. So when the rest of the world says, hey, I won't take the paper anymore, how does that work and what can you do? That's one of the situations that I discuss with, you know, your listeners and everybody else on what you should be doing right now, and that's getting out of that gambling casino called the stock market. I was a registered financial principal and an underwriter of securities. Once a stock has been issued, it doesn't make any difference to the company from then on because, the president and COO run the company. They take all the money out of it. And the stockholders can only determine the value as long as somebody out here is willing to buy or sell the stock. And that's what all the stockbrokers do. That's how they make their money.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is getting people to understand that there's no real value there. It's the illusion. I'll give you an idea. If I took, let's take Enron, because everybody's familiar with that company. It went under bankruptcy. It was selling for, let's say, $125 a share, and it dropped to 80 cents within 30 days. Now, you would think that this multi-billion dollar company would affect the stock market, but it doesn't. And how does it do that? It's because they delist that they no longer keep track of it. And it's a constant method that the stock market does. The next thing is, let's take a small company like General Motors. If General Motors has, let's say, 5 million or 100 million shares that are out trading, and today, let's say it's $25 a share, that's maybe $25 billion, right? But let's
yes.
say that I arbitrarily, instead of being $25 a share, agreed to pay $35 for 100 shares of it. Does that mean all the other 25 million shares are worth $35? Only because 100 of them traded? That's what the stock market's all about. It's a mm-hmm. manipulation gun, a game that's being done by the brokers, because they're all fighting with each other, because that's how they get their bonuses, on trying to get you to invest money in something that they're playing with, which has no bearing on the real world. And that's one of the upside down things. Now, the banks that are keeping you going are basically controlled by the derivative market, and the derivative market derived off of it. These are created securities, and there's nobody in the world I can find, any accountant, that can tell me how you can determine what the value is of a derivative, and yet that's holding the United States together right now. And that's what the feds are trying to do at this minute, trying to securitize the derivatives. And that's what it amounts to, is they're trying to let the American taxpayer be behind all of these instruments to keep the money going. Will they be successful? Well, the rest of the world doesn't say so. The market dropped down a little over 200 points today. And again, I'm suggesting people move their money immediately into gold and silver. Currency will be easily recognized by people on the street, so you ought to have at least a little bit of spending money around. That's ones, fives, tens, and twenties. Nothing bigger. If you take $50 bills and $100 bills and go out of this country, nobody will take them. So the game is coming up really fast. I think that'll give you some of it. From when it comes from the real estate end of it, I built in 22 states shopping centers, office buildings, motels, restaurants, residential. My last major project was over $100 million. Most of the stuff I did was, you know, like motels and restaurants and that type of thing. So I got involved with playing the big game, so I give you a little bit of it. I played Monopoly. I had all the adult toys. When I got to the point when Jimmy Carter put into the Plan 2000 agenda, frankly, I said, no, man, we got to stop this. We got to wake people to understand that there's terrible evil that's going on, because there is a plan to reduce the world's population down to 500 million. Only 20 million Americans are expected to be left alive. That means that some of the details of that, nobody in the major cities will be left. Unless they, of course, have been tapped on and they're going to be conveniently on some trip somewhere. So that's what's scheduled for us. Their plan is to get a war started in the Middle East. And by the way, they're behind schedule. And that's to spread the United States, the beginning of World War III, which some of my sources are saying that could begin in the next 6 months.
Now, in light of what you just said, are they planning on taking this 20 million people into the underground bases that they've established, or are they just going to
One of the problems with it, that's the funny part. They build a lot of underground facilities throughout the planet. You know what they mm-hmm. haven't done?
They haven't made any spare parts, I know that.
That's right. There's no spare parts. So it's just a temporary thing.
Mm-hmm.
The plans are to use all means necessary. The Global 2000 agenda, it's on my website, by the way, which is NoHoax, NoHoax.com. And I put it up there, Armageddon, the Plan 2000, and I name names and give you a summary of all of the details. We're passed out to every congressman on what they've done. And it's kind of like, you know, what's playing behind the scenes right now as all the banks are starting to fold. And the Bankers Bank, you know what the Bankers Bank is?
Well, that sounds like a private institution, doesn't it?
No, it's the Bank of International Settlements.
Oh, okay, BIS. Okay.
Well, that's the banker's bank. In other words, if you're going to trade money between one country and another one, the monopoly people there, the bank, that's the 13 families that really control the world's economic system, are a little mad at our economic system over right here because it's affecting the rest of the world, as you probably are aware. So what has happened is they have gotten permission to audit the Federal Reserve. Bush just signed the agreement allowing them to do it after he gets out of the office. The other thing they just got through doing is giving that new home security bill, as you know, or their Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are giving unlimited amounts of money. That's to begin on October 1st of this year. Now, why would they do that? Do you know what September 30th is, by any chance? It's the fiscal year of the United States. So anything that happens after that date will fall on the new president or the new regime or whatever they got set up. And so it's a huge play that's being manipulated on the people. And most people are asleep and can't put together the pieces on it.
Yeah. Or the new dictatorship. Whatever.
Well,
the
ultimate game is a socialist dictatorship. That's the big game. That's if you read the FEMA rules. If we happen to start a war, prior to that, which he could do at any time. There's a lot of movement going on in the Middle East, and that's where it's to begin. A lot of militaries on high alert. The Navy's out on alert. The Soviets have submarines on both coasts right now. These are nuclear submarines. They're five stories tall. And a couple of football fields and lengths, and they're totally nuclear powered. India right now is contracting with Russia and France to build, get this, $100 billion worth of nuclear reactors in India. Now, what they want you to do is tell everybody that you can't have nuclear reactors in Iran, but Iran is building nuclear reactors in conjunction with the Soviets. All the Soviet scientists are doing it. So, why? Because they recognize that oil or the petroleum we're using right now is running out around the planet. And you've got two countries, China and India, which is about 2,300,000,000 people that are sitting in there growing so fast they're going to be taking up all of the oil reserves. And we're importing, as you know, about 75% of the use of the oil we have, most of it that we have ourselves, like our North Shore oil in Alaska, all goes to Japan. So the game becomes more interesting. And we are importing oil from Mexico, but Mexico is importing 40% of its oil from South America. And Mexico exports 30% of their production right back up to the United States. So we try to keep what we call an even playing field. Canada is our largest supplier. But the trouble is the oil coming from Canada is causing enormous pollution on the planet. So we're getting dealt what I call a heavy deck of cards right now to get an overview of what's really occurring.
What's your opinion about the capped wells, for instance, Prudhoe Bay, the find there that Lindsay Williams talked about? Lindsay's been on this show, by the way, before his forced retirement.
Well, here's the problem. And I was in the oil business. It isn't a question of capping the stuff. It's the cost to get it out of the ground. And if they put it down there, they don't have it. The Prudhoe Bay oil was a high sulfur oil, as you probably are aware. The pipeline that coming from Alaska coming down here is only about 15% controlled or used at this minute. So if you look at it, yes, there is a lot of oil. But to get it out of the ground and the cost for it, it became so it's a lot easier to cap it down. Now they can release it, but we don't have refineries over here to take care of it. It all has to be shipped over to Japan. So we have a problem. We have oil. We do have enough oil throughout the world to maintain everything, but at the price of oil to get it out, and everybody's asking for more money and more oil, it's going to keep the prices up to where you're looking at this $4 a gallon at the stations. I'm sure it's going to be going up to 5 and 6 like Europe because of their demand. Russia exports oil, as you probably know, and they export energy. which is their natural gas, going all of Europe now. You know, the Russians basically are setting in motion heavy connections with all of the company or countries over there, that if they want to continue to get their houses heated during the winter time, they're going to have to capitulate and do things the way the Russians want to do. And of course, that's some more things that Bush is trying to negotiate with. But Putin told Bush, he says, "Hey, if you want our energy, you got to pay us in gold or euros. We won't take the dollar anymore." And in Pravda, the newspaper, they've urged all the Russians that have dollars to get them converted to gold, because they said the United States will be in a massive recession by the end of this year. Now, most people don't read all these things, but you can keep track of it and put together the pieces of what's occurring, and then you can see on how to protect yourself. And to protect yourself, get yourself into a small town, you know, away from major cities. Take your dollars and buy all your new refrigerators. Get everything you need for a long-term game on here, because all these things are going to be going up, as well as, you know, food is going up in price. 80% of the cost of food, or your fruits and vegetables, is due directly to the energy cost. 80%.
Yeah.
And they're already telling you that electricity is going to go up 10 to 20% in different cities across the United States. That's additional costs that are going to go up. Meanwhile, we're laying everybody off, and then the big companies that are going out and merging are laying off all the, you know, the old employees, and then replacing them with the younger workers at a fourth of the money and obligations they have. Meanwhile, you got like Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler, who have dumped their obligations for the health benefits onto the unions, which they don't know where they're getting into, because it's totally unfathomable how they'll be able to even sustain that. Social Security, we know, is broke. All the money's been borrowed. And the same thing with Medicare. We're putting out more money every month in Medicare payments than they are taking in. So what you're looking at is a bankrupt system, and how long will people continue to loan to a bankrupt? Well, foreign countries are not doing it. So the Federal Reserve, that beautiful conglomeration that was created, is advancing $2 billion a day, and $1 billion is $100,000 homes, to give you an idea of it, just to keep the country afloat right now.
Yeah, you know, you're bringing up a lot of points in regard to the financial situation. If I could recap a couple of things. What I know about the hedge fund market has a lot to do with where the money's going and whose accounts they're in. I've done some writing. I followed Wantagate. Came to the conclusion that the whole thing was a cover story for the gold theft that's going on. You know, the story of Ambassador Leo Emil Wanta destabilizing the Russian ruble. And you have to ask yourself, if that's what he did, why are there 160-some countries in line for payments, what they're calling the Tier 1 through 10 payments? And at the same time, you have some Swiss banks that it's not being published in the mainstream media. I think it's Credit Suisse and UBS are in some hot water, or soon will be in some hot water, because of massive gold deposits that have been stolen. In fact, I think they're supposed to mature this August. This is about the time that all of the Saudi contracts, you know, the bonds that they purchased in exchange for us developing their oil business, bringing the oil out of the ground and building the refineries and showing them how to do it, all that money's been stolen too. And I think when that's found out, that's going to be the pretext for the war that they're creating.
Well, now, they're going to do it in all directions, what you're saying. Gold is the big commodity they really can't keep track of, it because it's used for, as you know, to purchase of all of the weapons and everything else that they have. There's only three currencies left in the world, and that's, you look at it, gold, oil, and drugs. And I'm certainly not in the drug business, and that's controlled by the different intelligence agencies around the world anyway. That's our black...
The bloodline. Yeah, it's the bloodline is what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the listeners on this network know what the bloodline means. I can guarantee you. They're discerning and they know what's going on. At least when they listen to this show, they get it from me and our guests. And that brings me to the point of, you know, you mentioned Ford and GM and, all those companies, the big auto manufacturers have shipped all the jobs, the ones that aren't here anymore, have been shipped to foreign countries, so they're even paying less than they would pay, let's say, a younger workforce. And the issue of medical care, Medicaid, Medicare, and the basic cost of drugs is outrageous. When you have drugs 56,000-57,000 times the price of what it actually costs them to manufacture these drugs, these people have no conscience.
Yeah, are you trying to tell me that they can't make a profit? Is that what you're saying? I'm just joking with you. I mean, the feasibility and what the planet is running on right now has been designed on two bases, of needs and wants. And advertising agencies have created all these wants, and they've been supplying the needs by putting the whole country and everybody in debt up to their kazoos. Back to the inner circle that's setting up, building these, you know, camps around the country and, like you say, facilities. I mean, the enemy, I was asked to build one of them, the enemy prisoner of war camp in downtown Las Vegas, for instance. Those are all getting set up into motion, and now we're running out of time, and the time frame of all this, probably in the next few months, so we have something that's coming on. You're mentioning some dates. I keep getting the movement of the military right now, being on high alert. I get noticed today, again, our government says that we're all on high alert. Why did they do that, right? Mm-hmm. It's only to get us prepared to get the people that are knowing, like your listening audience, to get prepared. The second thing is most of the ones that you and I are talking to, your listeners, are frankly, they're the choir. We're just singing to the choir. The only thing they're asking for is some evidence of the dates coming down, because this thing is all planned in behind the scenes, and they're all plans. That isn't everything set in stone. They do have some, you know, general goals, and the general goal is to have it fait accompli, the world population reduced down to less than 500 million, and control by the year 2012, which synchronizes with a lot of your other prophecies, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we could go on and on and on with this, George. I think, you know, we've sort of given a synopsis of what the world's problems are without really going into any of them as deeply as we could. The point now where we are, or in this conversation, is what do we do about it? We can, and I alluded to this in my introduction, we can become discerning. We can look at this instead of through the eyes of the ego, through fear, and just through the mind, and look at the bigger picture. I do what I do. I use myself as an example. I do investigative journalism that's highly based upon my intuition, and I dig up the facts. My intuition leads me to the facts so that I can show others. This is what I found. Now, what are the consequences of that, or what is that going to do in the long run when you have an apathetic public? Well, those who are on the brink of awakening awaken. They say, "Wow, I didn't realize this." It's starting to paint a picture here. So if we're going to change something, we have to, you know, my idea, my philosophy is if we're going to change something and create something better, we have to understand what it is we're changing, who we are moving away from and what we are moving away from, and then we can determine how to do that. And I tend to look at the whole enchilada. I look at the big picture, the cosmic picture, and how what I do affects everything. If I do something negative, I'm going to affect the all the same way. And so,
that's, you know, that's the first law of the universe, the law of attraction. What you put out, you're going to get back.
Yes, exactly. So my intention is to awaken people. I would prefer to just focus on solutions, but you have to mention the problem so you can recognize what a solution is.
Well, we know what hasn't worked, and planet Earth is not working right now. I mean, you can point at everything like you and I are talking about right now. We can look at everything that is a total disaster, the air that you breathe, the water that you drink, the food that you eat, the medical system, the economic system, nothing works at this minute. And so we know what doesn't work. What we have to look at now is getting together with other people of like minds to talk about this and then try to create a system that will work in conjunction without the ego, without the greed. And that's going to be the challenge. And out of this, we're going to create something totally new. Those that are left, or the remnant, I call it, because most people, unfortunately, are so programmed, or they can't read or they don't know about it. These are just souls that are going to be making their choice already right now. And that's going to leave the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, that touches upon, in a sense, politics a little bit, because we have put so much trust into these folks that we believe that we've elected, but we know we really haven't. I mean, that's what the evidence shows. And the aspect of religion, the multiplicity of versions of a belief system that really is all over the place. It reflects everything else going on the planet. In my estimation, I don't know if you would agree with me on that. I don't profess to know the totality of God, but I know it's not what the TV evangelists are putting out. So.
That's correct. But, you know, that's part of the game, too, to get people divided among the different ways that they have. And, you know, religion is kind of, as they've said before, it's the opiate of the masses. In other words, have somebody to believe that somebody's standing by and all you have to do is make all these mistakes and you're going to be saved. Or you can go look at look at the Islam religion. And they don't say that. They just say that their view of God is like the creation, that they all have to share and work together. But what they're looking at as our God over here is the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have all the various denominations that were created by the translation of the King James, and King James was the biggest weirdo in the world. If the people look at his history, actually, I put up a thumbnail sketch of him on my website again, nohoax.com. You can read who was King James. Now, then you can understand the problem. It's a question as I have is, would you accept the Bible as the version written by Bill Clinton?
Yeah.
And what if King James was 100 times worse?
Yeah.
And then you ask, how come the presidents of the United States aren't sworn under a King James Bible? And how does a king fit in on all this game? These are just questions that you want to look at. And how come there's 200 versions of the King James? And versions mean they've changed some opinion of them. And it's interesting to go grab them and look at them and see the comparisons. But those are just man-made anyway.
Yes.
What we have to look at is what is the ultimate game and what's the background of this, the history. History is like the word politics. Politics is two words. Poly means many and ticks are bloodsuckers.
Mm-hmm.
And history is two words, right?
His story.
All written by the victor. So we have this game, if you can put the two together, it's always the same. And you can't have one man and say, hey, I'm leading, you know, it's like the Pope, running all the Catholics in the world, but based under that philosophy. I mean, now, we're not saying that a lot of their teachings aren't good, because they're trying to do something. But meanwhile, the manipulation of man's mind and not taking responsibility is all built into all of that. And that's where the key is, responsibility of order without the situation of greed and power. I mean, Kissinger again says the absolute aphrodisiac is power. So they put all these people in positions of power, and they are rewarded by however it is to feed the ego. In other words, put it up there. We'll give you money. We'll give you power. We'll make you the president. We'll make you whatever you want to if you do, you know, do these things for us. I mean, I used to run around the same way. The ego was, well, if you weren't smart enough to get up to where I was, you deserve what you're going to get. Meanwhile, I went into companies and I liquidated it. I would get rid of the, quote, expendable containers. That was the people. Today, the verbiage, as you know, you're a human resource. And that's just all part of the bottom line.
Or a useless eater, they like to call us as well.
Yeah, useless eaters, expendable containers. Just the expendable containers was the verbiage Dr. Coleman put on the word useless eaters, and that came across. And there's others that use the same thing.
Yeah. Well, wow, where do we go from here? I guess one way that we can extricate ourselves from this is to begin to realize our true nature. And as long as we are in the matrix, or inside the box, in this paradigm called life on planet Earth, and we're blindly following everything that we're taught or everything that we're told, in other words, if it's not on TV, it mustn't be true, or if it's not on mainstream radio, if it's not on a clear channel station, it mustn't be true. What suggestions, now, aside from reading your work, you know, for the person out there that's listening to all this and says, you know, I'd like to play a part in this, I have some ideas of what a better world could be. What do you suggest to those folks to start on the track of listening to the inner voice and making that universal connection?
Well, meditation is the big thing. The Handbook for the New Paradigm, which people can download free on my website, is an instruction manual, and it's basically an antivirus device. It reprograms your mind to really tell you who and what you are, which is basically a spirit, which weighs 22 grams, inside this rent-a-wreck called the body. And by triggering that, what we want to do is get you at a point where you're in constant communion with spirit or the creation, however you view that, in order to assist the transition, because I really don't know what the play is going to end out. I mean, we have to have a lot of help at this point. We know what hasn't worked. And
yes,
it's obvious we know how to, we can work on things to, you know, help our bodies and the rest of it. We know how to get rid of, you know, all the diseases. There's a lot of free energy stuff that's out here. There's all kinds of things to put it out. It's the portability is the problem. And there are a lot of stuff that's going to be out there, but the big companies want to make money and just squeeze more out of, you know, out of the listeners as they can. And the food that they give you is probably, well, they learned how to make money while they're killing us off. That's the best way to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And for the little guy, the first rule is to gain all knowledge. Well, that means you got to start studying or talking or seeing other, you know, seeing people with information that makes some sense. And I don't suggest you're going to get a lot of knowledge by running to your local church, because they're going to give you the same old story that's been going on for thousands of years. And that's the history again, his story. And how do you know that it's, you know, valid when you start looking at it? The universe is very logical, mysterious maybe, but don't make it mystical.
Mm-hmm.
And the processes of doing that is by investigating each and everything that you and I are talking about, the economic system, the money game, and yet most people right now are scared to death. They don't have the money to go fill up their gas tank in order to go from one place to another. The air is getting so polluted. You, in some parts of the country right now, you go into the cities and you can almost cut the air with a knife. It's getting like Mexico City. Mexico City, you know, in the northern hemisphere, has got 26 million people. People don't know that. Half of them don't have running water, electricity, or sewage. This is today. And yet, that's not that far away from us, is it?
It's no.
You know, a less than a two-hour flight from Houston. So what we're looking at is, what is, and then all the Caribbean islands are all corrupted because of drugs. I mean, they're all controlled by the druggies in one way or another, and they're continuing, they're in major trouble because of requirements of having petroleum, which is coming up from Venezuela or wherever it is to keep their places going, and so their utility costs are quadrupling. I mean, even a boat that's bringing in, you know, a freighter that comes in right now from Europe or coming in from Japan, these freighters just a year ago were running about $23,000 to $28,000 a day. You could rent one. Today they're $100,000. Today there's a dozen airplanes leave every day out of Hong Kong, and they fly to Seattle or they fly to Minneapolis out of Hong Kong. Each one of these has $125,000 worth of fuel in it, or about 8,000 gallons. 8,000 gallons of fuel is being burned between 30 and 36,000 feet, as you probably know, which is causing this incredible band of pollution around the entire planet. I mean, we have 5,000 airplanes an hour flying over the United States right now, 25,000 around the planet, taking the fuel, adding to the particulate in the matter, you know, in the air, which is causing a lot more grief. So we have to understand this thing. But meanwhile, how do we get our bodies back into some kind of semblance? And that is to start looking at the old methods, the ones that worked 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago for medicine. How do you get your food other than growing it yourself? Get off the genetically modified stuff. Throw away your cell phones, because that's basically, well, let's put it this way. Would you put your head in a microwave?
No, and
that's exactly what you do with a cell phone. You're putting it right there, which is causing a lot of people to come down with Alzheimer's right now prematurely, because you're burning up the cells inside your ear right there that translate the sound noise into thought for you. That's part of your brain that's working, but we're killing them off.
Yeah, and well, even using the microwave is not a good idea, because when you even heat up water in a microwave, it changes the molecular structure.
That's correct.
And whatever you consume that's been cooked in a microwave basically is changing your body, likely killing off cells or exposing you to this massive amount of electromagnetic energy. Radiation, really.
Oh, you got that problem, then you have the radiation. You know, since you started dumping all of the nuclear waste into the oceans, the radiation has been absorbed by the plants in the ocean, and then the fish is eating that, and then we're eating the fish. Fish on the East Coast now are 100,000 times higher in radiation than they are on the West Coast. Radiation transfers by a process what they call mimetics, or moves up the food chain. So when people get it, radiation has its purpose in life, but it obviously, if it's put into your body, and if your body's not set up on it, it'll start developing the cancers too, and guess what? And cancer is really, actually there's cures for cancer, and it's fairly easy to get rid of if people understand that, and we've got a lot of information that we're putting out in our new catalog, so. People can go, again, I suggest people go to my website, nohoax.com, read the special message, and we'll send you out a hard copy along with our catalog, where they had a lot of information about where you can get this material we're talking about to make your body back to being in a whole shape and get rid of a lot of diseases.
Yeah, I'd say probably 100% of what they sell as medicine is nothing but another toxic substance that's either a Trojan horse for a new problem or just something that temporarily masks the symptoms while whatever disease you already have contracted is mutating inside yourself.
That's all correct. Meanwhile, your body is a marvelous machine. You notice that the two things that people I don't know if in the city you're in, or maybe some of your listeners have, they're using fluoride or chlorine in the water. That immediately goes into your receptive system in your body and goes to your thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
Your thyroid, as you know, controls your temperature of the body. A lot of people's temperature used to be 98.6 and now 97. Well, that means you're out of balance. And it's affecting, you're having all kinds of thyroid problems, and the doctors are working on that, but it's affecting the whole system, which you're in turn becoming weaker and weaker. So when they want to take us over and round us up into these camps, you won't have any ability to do that.
Yeah. Well, then they're discovering that there are, in the water samples, that waste product and some of the drugs that people are taking, let's say like hormone pills to prevent pregnancy or steroids. They're finding these substances in the drinking water as well now, as
well,
this water.
That's true, but you know, understand half of the population in the United States is on septic systems. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, there are some ways to break down using enzymes that will eat up all that and convert it back to what we call potable water. The trouble is, when they go out and they pump these systems, what they're getting is all the vitamins and mineral people take because they don't dissolve. And so what's happening, that's going into the groundwaters, which, like you said, is leaching back out of the system. So people are getting poisoned doubly on all these different concomitants. And they're not even sure what the combinations of that stuff is doing to each person, because each person has a different tolerance for each of the different drugs that they're giving us. So we're big experiments.
Yeah. Well, I come back now to the solution portion. Now, in the books that you still have three e-books, correct?
We have three e-books, right. The fourth book, we give it to people that after they've read the other three. And then it's called Messages to the Ground Crew. But I don't put it up as an e-book right at this minute. We're just, I haven't done it, let's put it that way. We're having the books converted to, you know, audio by computer so people can listen to them. The handbook we have on CD, and the other ones are in the process of being converted.
Hmm. Well, I'd like your permission to set a link up to your site on my site, and if you would like some help in getting these out to the people, I'm willing to help you out.
Love to do it. Tens of thousands of these books are going around the planet. Many groups are being formed everywhere. I mean, I got an email today from India, one from New Zealand, one from Ireland, I got two of them, believe it or not, from Guatemala today, which kind of surprised me. One from Chile. So people are reading these all over, and they are in the process of translating them. Other people are doing it. We've got them translated into French. They are about the only solution I know, and that's what you're looking at. By reading the books, will instill ways within your thought processes to rethink the ending of the story, and will give you some things to awaken you to who and what you are, and so you can be part of the solution rather than the problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, you recommend starting, and this is for the listening audience, starting with the handbook for the new paradigm.
That's correct.
And then embracing the rainbow would be the next one.
And then becoming.
Now, I am almost finished with Becoming. I've read all three. What do I do to get the fourth book?
just call me.
Okay.
Or you just send me an email and we'll get it out to you.
Okay. Well, I want to help you disseminate those books, so I will be doing that. I do that for any of my guests that are authors, and you will be the first exclusive publisher that I do that
for.
Well,
I'm not the author. Do we want to talk about that? How I got involved with how I became the publisher of these books?
Yeah, I think that would be very interesting. Sure.
Let me give you some understanding. This goes back, I'm giving out my age a little bit, but I was stationed at Edwards Air Force Base. That's the Air Force Research and Development Center. That's where the Air Force takes equipment, the airplanes or whatever we had, as a testing facility. So if you have a civilian contractor like Autonetics or North American or any, and, you know, they produce these vehicles, then they turn it over to the Air Force for testing to decide whether or not they want to use them. Mm-hmm. Well, one morning I did the post-flight inspection on the X-15, the forerunner of the space shuttle. And it lands out in the desert out there. It doesn't land on a, concrete runway, just out in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it landed about 4 miles, roughly, north of the hangars that I normally worked at, and I was cleared for top secret. I finished doing the inspection, and there was two hangars there were kind of, I've never been out to them, never had any need to do it, but I was just kind of curious what was in those hangars and why they were away. As I went into one of the hangars, there was this big circular disc about 30 foot across. it was round, and it was very unusual. I didn't know anything more about it. It just, you know, I'm 10 feet away from looking at this disc. What is this thing? Anyway, I come back to my commander, and I ask him if I could work on the round, you know, this disc. And he says, you saw it? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, it's an ion-powered, that's I-O-N, ion-powered craft designed by Sikorsky for use in outer space. Sikorsky was the helicopter people. And I said, well, great. When can I work on it? He says, you can't. It's still a civilian project. And, you know, I just shrugged my shoulders and said, fine. Anyway, I went back to my room. And my buddy, who I ran around with, happened to be the base photographer. And I asked him, I said, hey, give me some pictures of that round craft. Because he was giving me all the pictures of everything else that was top secret out there. And he said, well, what did he tell you? And I told him, and he said, that's not true. He says, George, come back here. And he come back, and he showed me pictures of the spacecraft. Now, I'm 10 feet away from it, so I'll never forget that. But the two dead aliens got my attention. I didn't see them, but I saw the pictures. I'm sitting here now. I'm a little confused. I was, you know, in the Air Force, rah rah. I've sworn to secrecy and all this good junk. But why did my commander lie to me? And the second thing is, why didn't the government tell the truth about that there's extraterrestrial craft? So I went down and asked my commander. That was my first, you know, response to it. I walks in there to the commander. I says, you know, why didn't you tell me the truth about it? And the first thing he said to me, he said, look. When the government's ready to tell the truth about UFOs and ETs, they will. Until then, you stick to the story. Now, let's give you an idea. This was last week in August. This was a week before Armed Forces Day. And he says, next weekend is Armed Forces Day. I'm going to put you on duty, and if I happen to, any civilian would happen to see the craft, they'd have to use binoculars, and they'd have to have the doors open to see it. But he said, if you have, any civilian would happen to see it, I'm supposed to give him the Sikorsky story. Well, within a very short period, I was transferred off the base, ended up in Japan, as a matter of fact. Basically knowing that there was extraterrestrials and that our government had them, but didn't go any too much farther. When I was out there, I was asking about the technology. I'll give you an idea. The Air Force put me through a year of electronic school. I already had a couple years, but prior to that. But they put me through a year solid of electronic school back in Illinois. And my first assignment was Edwards. Well, when I'm out there at Edwards, all of a sudden I'm looking at what? Aircraft with equipment in there that was all highly sophisticated, way advanced. Nothing that they taught us in school. I figured this is a waste. I was on the job training, because at that point, all of a sudden, I got transistors and diodes and everything else. And I asked my commander again, where did they get this stuff? And he said, we got think tanks, and that, you know, Colonel Corso was out there. Are you familiar with him?
Isn't he Mr. Crash Dummy?
No, he was, his job was to retro-engineer the alien spacecraft technology and introduce it into our systems so we use them today. That's where we get fiber optics and the computers and everything right off the alien disk. Well, he was there at the same time I was there.
Well, so I'm referring to Roswell. I think he had a little bit to do with the cover-up on that, you know. But.
Well, they covered. Look, there was. I published a book called UFO Crash at Aztec. I don't have me around right now, but it was 18 different crashes that occurred in New Mexico. There was one that was 2 weeks before Roswell. It was about a mile and a half over the border in New Mexico, and our military took bulldozers and everything else and brought it back over on our side of the, the border, and then we shipped it off to Wright Pat. So there's a lot of that technology. Anyway, that was back in the 50s, just to give you an idea.
Yeah.
1984, I built a house in Aspen. And my housekeeper had a book called UFO Contact from the Pleiades. Incredible color photographs of exactly the same thing I saw at Edwards. And I'm sitting here looking, where did they get this book? How did it happen? Because, as far as I know, the government was still covering things up. Anyway, I flew down to Phoenix, and I talked to this couple. They said they're investigating a man in Switzerland who claimed to be in contact with beings from the star system, the Pleiades, who said that they, the Pleiadians, engineered this planet so it could sustain at least 500 million people in life in balance. You know, and I said, look, I don't know anything about that story. I'm a real estate developer and banker. I said, but I do know your pictures are real. I said, what can I do to help you kids? And they said, well, we need to publish another edition of it, and we need some money. And I said, that's not a problem. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make this deal. I'll loan you the money with this provision. When you sell the books, I want my money back first. I'm going on and building, you know, playing my Monopoly game. And I said, that'll help get the word out. Yes. And then I didn't have anything to do with it, right? Well, after 90 days, I got the accounting, but I didn't get a check, and I was kind of upset about that. So I called them on the phone. I said, what's going on? They said, well, we know who you are. You don't need the money. I said, that wasn't the agreement. So anyway, I got up, and I flew down, and I filed suit against them, but I was so wound up with the information that they were sharing. I mean, some of my background, I went to Carlisle School of Mines. I majored in geophysics. I went to University of Illinois and studied law and business, and anyway, the information that they shared was so, about everything that I went to school about had holes in it, you know, why again. So I wanted to go find out for myself. So I just grabbed a plane and flew off to Switzerland. And
met Billy Meyer.
Yeah, well, I rented a car and went over to Billy Meyer's place. And that was about a 45-minute ride outside of Zurich. Go to a little town, you know. Knocks on the door, and a little girl answered the door. Her name was Bruni, and I introduced myself. I said, I put the money up for the movie that's being made on you. I put the money up for the books in the United States. And I says, I got some real questions I've got to find out, because there's something drastically wrong with this picture. You know, why doesn't the world know about it? And her response is, we're not talking Americans. They're all crooks. You know, they come over and take our pictures, and they do all of our stuff. And I said, well, I can understand that possibility. I said, but I'm here, and the buck stops here. You go back and tell Billy who I am. I says, if I get my questions answered to me and to my satisfaction, I'll be agreeable to, you know, basically fund the project. Anyway, come back about, you know, 10 minutes later and said, Mr. Green, I'm sorry. You know, Shirley MacLaine was here 2 months ago, and she promised to help us. Nothing's happened. I said, well, I'm just going to make a vacation out of this thing. Anyway, I said, I'm going to head off to Innsbruck, Austria tomorrow. It's late in the afternoon. Where's the closest hotel? So I went and checked in. Next morning, she's knocking on the door. And she said, Mr. Green, we found out who you are. We got a message for you. So she delivered a 2-page message to me, which was signed by Quetzal, who was the Palladian commander, inviting us back over to their compound. And frankly, for the next week, I got my mind blown away. Anyway, I made an agreement with the extraterrestrials to assist on getting information out. They said, look, we are not going to interfere directly with your game. We know what's coming down. But there are people that need to be awakened, and you can assist by doing that, by putting out our information. And I said, sure. Anyway, I said, the only problem is I'm involved with the lawsuit with the people down in Phoenix who claim to have the worldwide rights to the story, you know, Billy's story. So I said, well, I'll take care of that anyway. Anyway, I spent some time, you know, with Billy at that time. Came back, and I had a house in Beverly Hills at that time also. And my attorneys were the attorneys for Screen Actors Guild. I figured if anybody could break a contact, they could, right? So anyway, it was Dern, Mason, and Plown, and I come walking into Dern. I said, I got to get a contract, you know, squashed. And I said, I made a deal with Billy Meyer and the extraterrestrials. And he looked at me like I'm nuts, number one.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't care. My money's good, right? And I said, what I need to do is get this taken care of. And he said, well, I'll check it out. And he says, what we need to do is we'll have a hearing with the judge, and I'll set this up. Well, about, I don't know, it was 5 or 6 weeks later, he calls me. I come to his office, and he says, we got it all set up. Let's call Billy. You get him over here. We're going to have a hearing in front of the judge, and we're going to go ahead and, you know, we'll get this contract squashed, and we can go ahead with your agreement with this extraterrestrial thing. So from his office, I called Billy. And when I was with Billy, Billy showed me pictures that he was taken forward in time and had taken pictures of the West Coast totally destroyed by an earthquake. I mean, San Francisco was in rubble. And I looked at the pictures, and anyway, when I talked to Billy, I says, I'm going to send a plane ticket over here for you to come down here to be in the courts. He says, I'm not leaving Switzerland. I'm safe here. You're going to have to find another way. And I said, great, you know. I said, well, I tell you, it'll be easier. We'll let the extraterrestrials do that. Well, we left the office. And now I'm flying, you know, I'm driving, I had a little 450 SL convertible, and I was leaving Los Angeles down to North County, San Diego, on the 405 freeway. And in broad daylight, the extraterrestrials, the Pleiadians, had one of their beam ships follow us for about an hour. I mean, this is right in the afternoon. We kept pointing. I just kept playing. Couldn't believe what was going on, because at that point I was leaving, basically leading a real live X-Files. Anyway, about 8 years ago, it kind of settled down. So that between that period of time, I got back into, some other things that were occurring. And, I built an office building down in Vegas. And then I was asked to build an enemy prisoner of war camp. And then I was contacted by the ETs again. And they said, you're running out of time. We want you to get away from there, because we will give you information that needs to be put out to the public or to those people we need to awaken. And, we had an agreement. As you notice, the little book that you have, they did the write-up on the back of the book. I gave them all the instructions. It's pretty funny. Anyway, we got all the information to awaken people, and they wrote the books, and they're triggered. They're written in a way. It's an amazing process to awaken people so they can all, your listeners can all be in direct contact themselves.
Now, that's very similar to what Billy Meyer was claiming, that German was the closest language to Lyran, High German, not Swiss German.
Yeah, Schweizer Deutsch, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, I speak both languages. I speak Swiss German, too.
Oh, do you?
And it's like a code.
It's very different. There was one book that was not under the auspices. It wasn't under the contract, and I took it back. If you remember, Billy and a Greek priest by the name of Rashid were taken to a tomb. The Pleiadians took him over there, where in this jar in resin was the original writings of Judas Iscariot. Now, the Rashid translated to Schweizer Deutsch or High German, and we had a college kid translated to English, and I took copies of that and brought it back to the United States, called the Talmud of Emmanuel, or the Teachings of Emmanuel, the real story behind Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been nothing but problems for people. I've given it to a lot of so-called scholars and everything. Dr. Jim Deardorff spent a couple years on translations to get it back, and we have it available, but it does tell you how the extraterrestrials were involved in that. It's amazing. The comparisons between some of the like the book of Matthew, if you look at some of the verbiages of it, Deardorff did a comparison on some of them, so you could get an understanding of what was going on. And he had a specific purpose at that time. But time doesn't exist for them. It's only sequence of events. I mean, it does and it doesn't. I mean, the Pleiadians lived to be 1,000 years old.
Yes. The figure we call Jesus here on Earth, or Emmanuel, as Billy Meyer refers to him.
Well, Matthew 1, verse 20 to 24. You'll find in every Bible, his name is Emmanuel, maybe spelled different.
Yes. He also has gone to other parts of our solar system, or other parts of our galaxy, for that matter.
And other universes.
Yes. And, of course, they don't want us to know this. Neither the politicians nor those that run the religious community don't want us to know that, because then there is someone greater. It just destroys the game.
It takes away the church movement. I mean, they even put it in the Bible, so the person looks at it and says, "Where's the temple of God located? It's within."
Mm-hmm.
So you're walking around. It's not that edifice on the corner.
Yes.
And Christ said, "What I do, you can do, and even greater." Well, that's knowledge, isn't it?
Yes.
But then you take the Old Testament, how you can take the book of Exodus, which, by the way, most of the rabbis in New York disavow it. They say it was a lie. But you can take the book of Exodus, Exodus 20, for instance, which has the so-called Ten Commandments. Well, if you read the next two chapters, Exodus 21 and 22, it takes them all away. In other words, thou shalt not kill, which is not the real commandment, but they say that. Exodus 21 says it's okay to kill your dad if he strikes you. Or Exodus 20 says thou shalt not commit adultery. Exodus 21 says, hey, if your wife doesn't bear children, go get another one. They got, it's all kinds of games that are being played within the Bible as a structure. And you look and say, who selected the books in the Bible? Who wrote them? And then you really open up the Pandora's box, and then you find out how they manipulated everything. I mean, Paul, whose original name was Saul of Tarsus, was responsible for most of the New Testament. He's the one that gave him the nickname Jesus, which mm-hmm. is, it's a nickname.
Yes, I've had this conversation with many also, and of course it turns into an argument, and I don't want to go there.
Well, we don't want to do it, but what I was interested in, how he came about, and Gabriel, who was a Pleiadian, impregnated Mary. And it was to bring it back to, and back to the book of Genesis, it talks about the gods mating with the women. And mm-hmm. that was to create this DNA strand that we're talking about, of bringing back the spiritual knowledge back to man.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with that.
Well, it's just one of the games that we looked at when you brought up, the so-called religions. And, yeah, a lot of people will turn that off because they've got this little book over here that's wrapped in black, which is an obvious story,
mm-hmm.
That's where they're going to abide by. But that's their choice. So you have to have the fourth law, or basically the third law, which is the law of allowance. Allow them to have their own learning and discerning, like you said. The mm-hmm. final law is the law of balance. It has to be in balance. Everything
yes.
has to come back to balance.
You know, when I think it was in, I'm going to try to reference this correctly, in the prologue to Becoming, section 3-4, I think, where you were talking, or they were talking about the law of balance. And it reminded me of something that I saw once. And, I think it's worth sharing. It's a short story. I was in Europe, and I was going over one of these bridges out in the forest. In fact, I was in Switzerland at the time. There was a little stream that was almost overflowing because it had rained quite a bit for a few days, and we had some recent snow, and so there was a lot of snow melting, and the rain was precipitating that even further. And there were some logs that had lodged themselves along the sides of the bank of this little stream. They were pretty big logs, so I'm looking at the water thinking, that's got to be a powerful current to have moved those logs there. They hadn't been there the day before. And I'm looking at the water, and I just sort of went off into this deep gaze, we'll say, and taking the whole thing in, and all of a sudden a single solitary leaf floated down the stream, and here these logs were wedged there. They couldn't move, and this leaf is just floating on the top, right in the middle of the stream, just moving down. And it dawned on me that the path of least resistance is right in the middle. That to go to the extreme left or the extreme right, you were going to be so polarized that there was not going to be change. There was not going to be progress I'm speaking in terms of consciousness or in terms of problem solving or creation.
That's right.
And if you can imagine that little leaf was, the least powerful thing there was just using the force of the water to move. And it was as if that leaf had some kind of consciousness that it knew where it was going. It had a purpose. And it was going to get there, right smack dab in the middle of the stream. And
right.
I never forgot that. That was a moment, a flash of awakening.
Is that right? It reminds me of one of my stories when I was in the middle, in the outback in Australia. I was with there was about a dozen of us. We were sitting out. I just went out there just to see what the outback's all about. And I'm sitting out here looking as far as you could see, nothing. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, was this little Aborigine. I don't know where he came from, frankly. And he comes walking up to us, and he says, "What are you guys doing here?" And I said, "We're just exploring the planet, that's all. And I'm just looking at things." And he says, "Are you a missionary?" And I says, "No." And he says, "Oh, good." And I said, "Why?" And he says, "Turn around." And he pointed up, and he says, "See that?" And he was pointing at the sun. He says, "That's my God." And I says, "Oh, what does that mean?" He says, "Well, I can live without your God. You can't live without mine." And he turned around, and he disappeared. I told the guy, I'm sitting around here looking at it, it really affected me. And from his perspective, he was right. You're
mm-hmm.
probably aware that the Aborigines have got permission not to reincarnate on this planet, so they're not having children at this point.
Hmm. I wonder if that's going to be granted to our political system.
No,
I don't know.
The political system's going to be massively changed as we go. You know, a lot of people are working on different ways. You have to look at a lot of the leaders that we have. The Pleiadians have said, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with them because, you know, the question I ask, well, you're probably aware, they say above all things is the creation. And I said, well, what's above the creation? And their answer was, well, there's still mysteries for them. I thought that was pretty good. Which is true.
Yeah.
And then by getting all these things, you get to understand that you are part of that creation, the, you know, thought made manifest. If you take biblically again, John 1 says, in the beginning there was a word. That wasn't even correct. It's in the beginning it was thought. And if you pray, you put out thought. When you meditate, you hope and receive thought. So everything basically is a thought of the creation made manifest. And there's many levels and many dimensions happening simultaneously. So it's a real interesting summary to understand where we are in relation to this, to waken up to how, what part of the play and how we can be connected.
Mm-hmm. In respect to what you just said, you caused me to reflect that at least half of my life, probably more than that now, has been devoted just to becoming aware or conscious of the ultimate role that my life is about. You know, it's not just my mission so much as what effect what I do has upon the whole. And I see, you know, I mentioned to you off the air that I'm pretty optimistic about potential outcomes. And there's a lot to be concerned about on the planet, but at the same time, from what I've seen elsewhere, it's not so much the numbers as it is the quality of what we do. Do you agree with that, or you think?
Well, I agree with you. The last few messages, which are in the messages to the ground crew, will give you a clarification of the current position of planet Earth. And that's not very positive, but it is for those who are awakening. So that's the problem where we look at it. Just, you know, I'll give you an idea. It says, in the days to be experienced by humanity as time winds down, it's necessary for those of you who are now in the know, so to speak, to begin to focus on what might be called holding the pole or holding the fort. As the chaos increases, it's very important that those who can keep them focused and balanced in the days as this collapse begins in earnest. Though it appears that all is lost, that's what you're saying, it's the steadfastness of the few that will determine just how much chaos and suffering will be experienced. And all of this information is, you know, filled out a little bit more in depth anyway. So, if you want to get it, let me know about it, and I'll get it since you've got the rest of the books. And the people that go to my website, they can get the whole set of books right now for $13.90, including the messages of the ground crew. Just go to my website.
Okay, that's great, and that's nomorehoaxes.com.
Just no hoax, and it'll automatically relay to no more
hoax. Or no hoaxes, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, no hoax, N-O-H-O-A-X. My webmaster's in Costa Rica, he left the country.
Okay.
And he's created this, you know, the server down there, which then he just feeds mine into that, and he does it all from down there, and it comes out. It'll say no more hoaxes on it, but if you just make it easy, just go to No Hoax, and you'll get it.
Okay. I'm going to put you on the spot here, George. I do this when I have what I determine is a great guest, and I'm sensing that the listening audience is really enjoying your interview. Can I invite you back in the near future?
Yeah, you can invite me back. Check me. I am leaving the country for a couple of weeks because I'm trying to work on creating some new things, new currencies and everything for other people to use in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're actually working that here too with my senator friend. We're trying to get, he's putting together a bill to allow gold and silver to be the basis of paying bills here, and if so, then we can create something when the rest of the money falls apart. Because we're going to have something to be able to, we're all learning how to barter. That's one thing you have to do. But I'll be glad to come back.
Okay, great. Well, I'll get in touch with you so we can get you in our schedule before you leave. What you just brought up reminds me of the Basel II agreement, which I understand we should have been in compliance with back no later than December 1st of 2007. Of course, with the shenanigans going on Wall Street and in the central banks, not to mention the not-so-federal Federal Reserve, we are in non-compliance to the gold standard. So what you're saying is really true. You know, how do you see that working out, just as a sort of a wrap-up, on a global scale? Because Basel II is saying we're going back to a gold standard. Is that a reality, or is that just a cover story?
This is one of the things that people ask. Since I have what they call Systems of National Accounting, and you can get it from the World Bank if you need to. It's their accounting book. You know, as a banker, I want to know what they're doing. In the new system, they've got two definitions for gold. Now, that's interesting, in that we got to know what gold is. If they got two different definitions, how does that apply to you to having something to trade? Well, gold is what they use. It's called monetized gold, and by definition, it's only gold that will be held by the central bank or under their direct control. All other gold will be considered commodity gold. In other words, the chain around your neck, the gold in your pocket. It will be admitted at their discretion. So the gold that they're going to create for the new world system is only their gold. And they're setting that in motion right now to be where they are. Now, how they're going to peg it all out, remember, we're going to be reducing the world's population. That's the big thing. Because we just can't sustain it at this minute. So whatever they're going to have left, they're going to get everybody so they have this system, like you said, gold and silver. And silver is the poor man's gold. The other thing is, as you remember, when they had all these ET crashes and stuff, Truman put together the Majestic 12 program, which we have to have, ultimately, an enemy at some point, whether it's Bin Laden or Hussein or, you know, whoever we want to have of the week. Ultimately, whatever's left of the planet, they're going to provide the technology to fight the common enemy from space, and that's the extraterrestrials, which is also coming around on this cycle. Somewhere, you know, 2012, 2015, somewhere in that neighborhood, that'll begin the next war. We're going to have, if you're familiar with all of Billy's material, we're going to be going into World War III, which is going to last about 4 years, according to them. And then we got about a 2-year hiatus, and then we're going to begin World War IV.
Yeah, I know that there are those that are coming here, but what about the ones that have been here? That's the issue that...
Man did not originate on this planet, so we have to look at the games being played with us here. So this is the cycle that's coming all the way around. This is the pivot point of the planet. We're hitting a cycle in the universe. All the signs are lining up, frankly, within the next few weeks for the possibility, but the year 2012 is the pivotal point. This is where the possibility of the planet, you know, flipping on its axis or turning on its axis. This is the time that this is the goal that the One World Order wants to be finished with, or have fait accompli, the reduction of the world's population at this point, too. So out of the whatever's left, they're going to create this new world system. Well, you and I, since you've read the books, we can have a different understanding of what we're going to create in the future, and that's the basis of the handbook for the new paradigm or the new beginning.
Yes. Well, I would ask them to volunteer to be first in line for those that leave, to tell you the truth.
You got it.
Well, George, it's been fascinating, and I'd like to have you on, if possible, before the Olympics start. There's a reason for that. It has to do with this planned pandemic and the vaccines, and maybe that's something we can talk about as well as...
Check with me tomorrow, if you would, because right now I'm booked about every night this week.
Okay. Well, we'll see what we can do. I'll be lenient on you.
Okay.
All right. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I want to thank you very much. It's been also a pleasure meeting you, and I'm sure the listening audience is going to be sending me a lot of email and having favorable comments. So we look forward to your next visit.
Yeah, let's hope they do that, or they can Google George Green on there, and they can watch some of my videos, or go to my website. You can see part of it, too.
Yes, okay. George, thank you so much, and I wish you a good night. And we're going to say good night to our audience now. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And our special guest, George Green, will be with us again soon. And you can also visit his website, NoMoreHoaxes.com, or just put No Hoaxes into a search engine, or George Green, and you'll find his website. I recommend you read the books he's got posted on his site. If you're looking for some answers, he gives a very, very clear picture of what is in store for us and what you can do about it. Special thanks to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and for Seth Hendrick on the sound. And in the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and a good night.